Went to the gym this morning, saw a real idiot when I was down there. This guy put a water bottle in the Pringles holder on the treadmill.
Yeah, I like that.
Good, isn't it?
It's and not often well. That Medders comments on a joke so quickly, which means he must really like it.
Yeah, that is. Well, actually, no, it's becoming quite common now that Medders likes these more and more, I think. I think we've won him round to the format.
Just taken a couple of years.
Yeah.
Just two. Yeah, the best part of 2 years, but never mind.
That's why we have such big gaps in episodes, is because I've got to be ready to laugh.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of him.
Often. Yeah.
But also, it must be quite tough to find a joke that you haven't told Medders, right, Nate? Because you must tell him a lot.
It's difficult to find a joke I haven't told, generally. Yeah, there's only a finite amount of jokes in the world. So, yeah.
Now I envisage you, because I'm sure we'll get into this in a bit, but you were in the US before the Red Bull launch and you had a bit of a holiday and travelled around on your own. And I envisage you just going into bars and sitting there and just nudging the person next to you and being like, hey. And then telling them a one-liner.
I have told a few. I've got quite a lot now in my repertoire, which is, you know, one big positive from the last 2 years is that my joke forte has gone through the roof. So that's good.
Repertoire and forte in the same comment. I know, what a man.
I know.
Sensational, I
mean, mate. The season started now. No, no holiday time now. Got to get out of that mindset. That's as good as it's going to get for me, I think. Holiday and repertoire and forte in the same sentence. However, I'm of course stalling for time, because what everyone wants to hear is a few little numbers from Mr. Barreto.
Well, the good thing is, Nate, I think you can start this season on the good foot, because I think that was an 8.4.
Nice. I say it always makes me laugh because of how specific these have become now. Like, I think we're going to get to a point where you're going to be like, well, you know, this is an F1 pod. It's going to have three digits after the dot.
Yeah.
8.544. Really, really get into the weeds with it. But no, I'll take 8.4. That's decent.
Solid work. Solid start, especially when we can barely hear you. So.
Oh, yeah.
Did that lose in marks, the lack of microphone?
No, I can't hurt Nate for that, because if I did that, we'd be giving him minus points a lot, won't we, over the course?
Yeah. Well, no, my microphone, it's not my fault, guys, okay? There's nothing to do with me. My microphone's just decided to pack it in today. So I'm using old school Apple headphones. Little plug there for the Steve Jobs company.
They also have a little plug.
Yeah, they do. They have an annoying, unique plug, don't they, that you have to buy. Anyway.
But other headphones are available.
From all brands. check all good headphone stores for brands. Don't just rely on Apple, because you know they're not. That's monopoly, not the game, but it is a monopoly if they had it all. So capitalism is fun sometimes.
Onwards.
Welcome to The Paddock, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Bresso, F1 correspondent and presenter.
And I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders, general editor at ESPN.
And we were not put at ease. That is a change from
I know.
Recent weeks.
Well, you both looked at ease today, so, you know, I thought you weren't standing at attention. So, you know, next time, put people at ease.
I'm not at ease, I won't lie. I am with cold. And
yeah, you sound a bit phlegmy.
You sound croaky.
Yeah, lovely.
On the spot, spell phlegm. Spell phlegm for me, boys. Do it.
P-H-L-E-G-M.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I wasn't going to put a G in it.
Oh, no. In the house with some journalists here. Phlegm. Yeah. It is like phlegm, isn't it?
It's a great way to start a podcast episode, isn't it, really? Talking about phlegm. Yeah, I am with cold. Now, I want to bring that up, though, because Nate's mic's not working. I sound like this. The only person who seems to be surviving. It's like The Last of Us. Nate and I are going to go. But Barreto is making it. Not only that, he's the one who has the most ridiculous schedule of mankind right now.
It feels like the most ridiculous schedule of mankind, but it's that's launch season, boys, isn't it? That's just how these things go. It's the season before the season before the season. If we have tested it as a separate season,
that's the pre-season, isn't it?
It was like what did we have last year? We had a pre-season running before we had pre-season tested, before we had the season.
Well, was it a shakedown?
Oh yeah,
it was a shakedown season.
It was something. Shakedown. It wasn't like
the
that.
Official test. Come on, you should be on brand.
I know,
here.
I should be. I know. Let's move swiftly on. So I saw you boys both in New York last time out. We were there. Well, I was only there for 3 or 4 days. Came back to the UK to do Williams and then covered off Alfa Romeo. And then I did some filming yesterday at a site under embargo. And then I'm flying to New York shortly after we do this podcast to do AlphaTauri.
You're going back to New York?
Yes, I'm going back to New York, yes.
You're like Kevin McAllister.
I just don't want to get lost.
I made Formula One disappear. that could be your whole thing. Walk around with that little recording device that he has, you know, playing stuff back. Bump into Trump at the Trump Towers, like, you know, see that crazy pigeon lady down there. The one who everyone says is Piers Morgan as well. Have you seen that? People say that.
No.
They say that if you look closely at her, she looks very much like Piers Morgan. So people think it's Piers Morgan from A Former Life.
That's really mean to the poor lady, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, that poor lady being compared to Piers Morgan.
Could just check in on Twitter with Barreto during the next kind of 2 or 3 days to make sure he hasn't got lost, that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, that would be good, actually. I'll try my best to remember to do that for you.
Oh, thanks, Nate.
But I'm emotional about that, Nate.
Yeah, sorry, I was like trying not to phlegm and cough at the same time. Medicine has inspired me to be a bit more phlegmy in the last 5 minutes.
There's just too much phlegm chat. Let's go back to Red Bull.
It's well known
that
colds can transmit over podcasts, so you guys are in trouble. Yeah.
They do. It's a big. I mean, I've been watching The Last of Us as well. I'm well versed now in. And this is like The Last of Us. Here's another joke for you, because we're a bunch of fun guys, aren't we?
Oh God.
And it's spread by fungus. People haven't listened to it yet.
Jeez, what?
I'm glad I'm not scoring you on that, though.
Can we mark him down on the last one for that?
No. 8.4 is in the bank.
No, it's in the bank. Yeah, that's how the scoring system works. Maybe we'll have to adjust it for next season. But let's go back to New York. Although
literally going back to New York, but we're staying here. Yeah.
Yeah, rub that in because you're going back. We're not. Jeez.
Oh, guys. Nate was already there.
I was. I can't really complain. I had a pretty mega time. So.
I mean, you rode right across America, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I flew into DC. So I had some holiday. So half the trip I paid for, half the trip, you know, was a work trip. Went to DC for 3 days, which was a lot of fun. And then got the Amtrak up to Philly, was there just in time for them winning the AFC Championship game. So it was a giant street party on the Sunday, which was mega. I'm not a Philadelphia Eagles fan, but like, I was like, I probably should support them today just because, you know, to save myself from being beaten up. But actually everyone there was really lovely and in a great mood. Spent a few days in Philly and then to New York, where I met you lovely lads. And therefore the Red Bull.
Speaking of how far you went, if we spot the Brits on a podcast where Britta says you went right across America and you went from DC to New York.
Well, I was about to say, like, yeah,
tiniest little
it's
section.
Like a little blob of America.
The East Coast, but it looked fun, mate. It did look fun.
It was great. It was a really good time. I best little trip I've done for a while. And thank you to Red Bull for making it possible, because if I hadn't done the New York launch, I probably wouldn't have, you know, just flown out to America. I might have done. I might still have done, but it might have been a bit different. But yeah, it was great. America's a great place. And I would thoroughly recommend DC to anybody who wants to see something. You can see all the cool stuff in like a day. But you can see Capitol. You can see Lincoln sitting there on his big chair. You can see the big Washington Monument. But also there's all the museums, which are completely free. Which is amazing. So it's a bit like in London where there's, you know, you just walk into the museums. Fantastic, fantastic stuff down there. Very cool, very cool little place. And all so close together, you forget how small DC actually is.
The fact that you then moved on to Philly, though, did you by any chance try and run up the rocky steps?
Ah, yes, I did. Well, I didn't try and run up them. So I need to clarify here. It was very rainy, very cold, and I was walking towards the rocky steps, and you know, they're getting bigger and bigger, and I'm like, this is mega, isn't it? Look, that's where Rocky runs down. So I put on the theme, you know, dun, and I'm walking close towards them. I'm like, ah, so I'm like quite hastily running up them. Not running up them, actually. I'm kind of briskly walking out. I'm chopping, my arms are chopping as I go. And I get to about two-thirds of the way up. Bum, 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 bum. And I am having a great time, if you couldn't tell. And then I slip and I fall on my bottom there with a big thud. And I very smugly thought to myself, well, no one saw that. It's fine. So sort of pulled myself up the stairs, you know, got back to my feet, looked around. Crawled, and there were two people. Yeah, there was one person running up right behind me, and she was like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. Didn't tell her that I was in excruciating pain for a few seconds. And there was also, I'm pretty sure, a couple in the background would have caught it in the background of one of their pictures, or at least would have had have taken a picture just beforehand. So I think that was quite entertaining for them. But yeah, so I can say I slipped up the rocky steps, which is great fun.
Well, any listeners that have friends that may well have been in the Philly area on that day, if we can find the photo with Nate either falling over or, yeah, about to, that would be brilliant.
Please delete. So,
no. Pad hoc challenge for this year is to find that photo.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, and then we'll decide what we do with it if we find it. Maybe delete.
You don't get a say.
Yeah, I'm going to get outvoted, aren't I? It was great fun. And then, to be honest with you, I love the whole vibe of, you know, a US car launch. I thought it was quite nice. I know people didn't really like the Red Bull launch, but I thought it was great just seeing, you know, the team do something different. And yeah, it was freezing cold. That was it. My only criticism of, I know people didn't like the event. I thought the event
your
was
your only
fine.
Criticism was, of an event was the weather that can't be controlled.
Too cold. Daddy, Red Bull.
It's too cold. Turn the heating on, you know, that's what I ask.
I agree.
As a humble British man. Cold.
Well, that's the reason I'm ill now, is because it was so cold outside and like wind chill and stuff. And then you go inside and everything's heated heavily and yeah, you just go from one to the other nonstop. It's a bit like when you go to the Middle East sometimes and it's going from like really hot outside into aircon and eventually you get a cold. But
it was like minus 15 degrees Celsius, which is anywhere between 4 billion Fahrenheit and 1 Fahrenheit. I always forget how that trend. But yeah, it was cold. Very, very cold.
It was pretty fresh. But I got asked about it quite a lot. People are like, no, it was terrible. Like, yeah, it was awful to watch. Like, was it really bad there? And it's like, no. Like, for us going, it's a totally different experience and totally different reason. Like, if we were going for the one-hour live show that they were putting on, it'd be pointless going because you could have stayed at home and watched that. We go for the interviews around it, don't we? And content we have to capture. So from my point of view, it was really good. I managed to ruin the end of it.
Well, you caused a scene, didn't you?
Well, I didn't. It wasn't me. It was someone else.
You ruined the event.
I think it was you.
Unwittingly.
I'm going to say it's you, Medus. It was your fault.
But I was told to wait for Stefano De Monacali to come off the stage at the end of the show to then go and do an interview with him for SiriusXM. And I had then messaged the guy who was looking after Stefano, who said where he'd need to be. And I was kind of like, oh, you know, where are you guys at the moment? And he came and found me and said, oh, do you want to come and do it now? He's like, you know, not going up there. So went to this sort of room behind the bar in this, the classic car club in Manhattan, and did the interview with him and all good. Really nice. Excellent. Walked out, grabbed my phone because I actually recorded it into my phone using a microphone. So I was saving it and then saw these messages where everyone was like, oh my God, that's so awkward. Oh no. Oh, disaster. And I'm like, what's gone on? And they said Stefano had been called onto the stage a few times and obviously hadn't responded because he was doing the interview with me. But you couldn't hear that. So it's not like he intentionally ignored the call to the stage at that point. But B, apparently he wasn't intending to go up anyway and thought it had been relayed that he wasn't going up because it did look very Red Bull, didn't it? It's if he'd gone up to that launch at the end of it to kind of say, how great is this? Every F1 team's going to be saying, why aren't you coming to our launch event and saying, how great are we? So I think he just wanted to promote Ford, like, or, you know, welcome Ford, but it was a bit too Red Bull at that point. So, but yeah, Jim Farley, I'm unwittingly in the middle of that.
But Ford, sorry, Matt, I didn't mean to cut you off, but Ford CEO Jim Farley was on stage at the time. So, like, I feel like they massively overthought that, because that was the official explanation we were given. It was like, oh, we can't give anyone favoritism. It's like, Domenicali flew there with Horner on Horner's jet. Like, he's already gone there with Horner. So, like, I don't understand how any other team can turn around and be like, it's clearly there to, you know, to welcome Ford in. I know he then did that on Fox and Friends, which is what F1 said. But it was like, you just shouldn't build. I don't know. It just looked sloppy. It just seemed a weird circumstance. But
this is one of those great instances when Beretta has to sit there quietly and just kind of be like, no comment.
Of course. Sorry, mate.
I'm just going to let you boys crack on, guys. It's fine.
Yeah. He's like, these idiots don't know what they're talking about.
Well, this is only audio, isn't it? So we can tell everyone that he's nodding vigorously in agreement with everything we say. He's not.
Yeah, I felt bad for my colleague Marty Smith from ESPN. He was kind of the one having to kind of stall through the process. So I spoke to Marty, and yeah, he was a bit baffled by how that went down, but wasn't his fault. I mean, like you said, just wasn't communicated. And the auto cue seemed to have a mind of its own through the show. Like when I was watching him and Giselle on stage, Giselle was the other host, wasn't she? The auto cue seemed to be like ahead of where they were all the time, so they did a good job making it, you know, anywhere like a show, I think. Good fun though, wasn't it? I thought Danny Ric was in great form, and actually Horner and Max were in great form. Checo not so much. I know I joked to you guys about it at the time, but I did probably the worst interview of my life at that show. Where,
and it's some list.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I would definitely put it at the top of that list, because like, from the get-go, just from the small talk, didn't want to be there. I felt bad for a bit, but then I heard from everybody that just said, yeah, he was bad with everyone. You said the same, didn't you, Lawrence?
He was definitely quieter. Like, he just didn't...
It was like very short answers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like, that can sometimes be Checo. He can sometimes give shorter answers, but he's normally a bit chattier, you know, just a bit more... like happy to be there, gets what, you know, what, why we're there and stuff. And he was just generally quite quiet throughout.
So I tried, you know, we were filming our interview, ESPN. So I was talking to him on stage. And so I tried to make a bit of small talk. As mentioned, it was very, very cold, Baltic kind of weather. And he had one of these giant coats on that goes like down to his ankles. And I just had a, you know, t-shirt and a shirt because we, you know, for TV purposes of video, I was wearing that. So I said to him before we started, I said, oh, it's freezing, isn't it? And he was like, yep. I was like, oh, I wish I had one of those coats, they look very warm. He was like, yeah. I was like, great, man. I mean, geez, you know, because usually you try and, you know, you just, even if you're not expecting a big conversation with someone, are you, but you're just like, let's at least just have some kind of chat. And then during the interview he was moving back as we spoke, so he was like, I had to keep like changing my mind.
You were chasing him, weren't you? You were just constantly chasing backwards.
So I agree with you to an extent, Laz, because I think he is a bit like that sometimes, very short and sweet with his answers. But he's definitely, his demeanor's changed since he was at Force India or Racing Point. Like, he was a lot more happy-go-lucky then. The last, like, 6 months especially, he's just looked so miserable all the time.
It's tougher at a top team, though, isn't it, don't you think? Like, in the way that Valtteri is different at Mercedes, especially when and is different at Alfa now.
If you're Max or Lewis's teammate, I can see how that... Because you're right, Bottas wasn't the Bottas that we know, that we like, has come back again this year. Yeah. Like, he was kind of very cagey. Yeah, exactly. He didn't want to say anything. You know, he didn't want to make any lofty predictions. But he also knew that, like, three of the questions he'd get would be about how difficult is it to be Lewis's teammate. So I suppose there is something to that. But I just thought it was interesting going into the new year, because Danny Ric was the opposite of that, wasn't he? He was just having the best time of his life.
Yeah, I did a nice interview with him. I didn't get the ESPN treatment of, you know, what was it, an hour-long podcast or something that looked really cool.
We did, on ESPN Unlapsed, a little plug there.
Yeah, that did look good.
It was great, and yeah, it was good fun.
I did just a chat with him for Sirius again, just behind the bar, and I like saying that, it was just this dark little room, but it was literally behind the bar. So I got the impression there that he really doesn't mind if he doesn't come back to F1 to race, already, that he's kind of... all the other stuff he's going to get to do and the winter he's had, not having to worry about training, seeing family, that he really wants to embrace that. Because I kind of thought, oh, he'll come to like launch event and things that he has to start doing the PR side of things. and not be part of, you know, seat fits or a lot of the sim work before driving at testing, and he'll start to realize, yeah, I'm not racing this year, I am out. But he seemed to love it. He kind of said, like, oh, I've got a cold now, but he was saying if Max or Checo is going to get a cold, like, I hope it's not till much later in the year. Like, I don't want to have to get fit yet, and I'm enjoying my time off and going to work on other business prospects that, like, you know, where he's already got interest. So I think he's quite excited about kind of lining up the next phase of his life. And he's like, you know, and then if, you know, if the hunger comes back, great, which it might, you know, like Hulkenberg had that, didn't he? He didn't seem that bothered for a year or two, and then apparently was desperate to come back when the Haas opportunity opened up. But if it doesn't come back, then loads of fun things to do. So I think he's pretty happy with his lot at the moment.
Yeah, and he's got a lot coming up, hasn't he? Like, one thing we spoke about briefly was this Hulu show. He's executive producer on that. You know, he's sort of been everywhere. And just before we did the show, I think the day before, he was on the Stephen Colbert show, wasn't he? So, you know, he's kind of becoming a name in his own right. It'll be interesting to see after a year, you know, whether he can keep that going if he's not an F1 driver. I'll be fascinated to see whether, because, you know, you're always leveraging, when you're that famous, you're always leveraging what you do for that fame, aren't you? So in his position, it's like, I'm leveraging the fact I'm a F1 driver, you know, I'm known from Drive to Survive. When he's no longer the F1 driver, and it's been a while, I wonder what, but maybe that's what he's doing. You know, he's kind of making it, it's not like he's going to struggle in interviews. I think that's one of the things he's got going for him. He's always going to have a place on a chat show or whatever. So yeah, I agree with you though, Meadows. I definitely got the impression that, like, if you said to him today, oh, hey, like, do you want to drive? Unless it was like, you know, it's like literally you can drive all year with the Red Bull. Even then he might be like, no, I don't want to do it. Because I think you're right. I think he's had this time to step away from it. And once your head's out, it can take a bit of time to get back in.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, that was interesting about that. I mean, we got to do some cool stuff, didn't we, that week? And we all together went to watch some basketball at Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, all Nate and I did was go to a few bars, basically, including one that had a great advertisement to say live Formula One with sound. So they do F1 with sound in their bar, which was mind-blowing. But I feel like, Mr. Barreto, you did maybe a bit more than us during your visit.
No, it's pretty much the same as what you guys did, although I didn't spend as much time in bars.
We did skee-ball together, didn't we?
We did skee-ball one night, which was cool, which is throwing a ball up a ramp and trying to get it into, like, little pipes that are different scores. Is that a good description of what it is, Nate?
Just let everyone who's not American Google it. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we did that one night, which was cool. We went out to Brooklyn. So we left Manhattan. So that was nice. But yeah, I had a little bit more on. I did all the interviews that you guys did, which was cool. I agree that they were all in pretty good mood apart from Checo. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and just say he had a bad day.
Which again is fair enough. Like, I'm not saying he's entitled to have a bad day. It was such a contrast to the rest, wasn't it?
Yeah, defo. And then I went out into, talking about how cold it was, I went to Times Square to do a piece to camera, and you know, just to try and show that we were in New York, which was one of the perks, really, if doing a coal launch not in a factory or not in a room where you can't really put, you know, a different feel on a launch event. So that was another great thing about going to New York. I think it was just a little bit different. And it was so cold that my mouth stopped moving. So I was talking, and then I started to not talk properly before. So I had to go into the Levi's store. My producer Emma said, oh, you need to go into the Levi's store to warm up again. So I had to go into there for 10 minutes to warm myself back up again. And then came out, quickly did the piece to camera again. And because it kind of, in Times Square, the wind kind of funnels like a wind tunnel, without trying to bring a motor racing example to it. But it was freezing. And I was talking to the cab driver on the way home, and he was like, this is the coldest it's been for months, and it was just that one day that it was cold, and then it warmed up the next day. So I think we were just really unlucky with that weather. But
big time. You're going today, it's 13 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a completely different wardrobe.
AlphaTauri launch as well.
Well, it literally is like a mandated wardrobe. You can't. Yeah. You don't have a huge amount of freedom here to decide what you've.
Well, I went to the AlphaTauri store to get an outfit for this weekend, and it's head to toe in mango. say they basically kitted
Mango.
Yeah, they kitted me out. Wow. So I've got Mango trousers, Mango t-shirt, Mango hoodie. Word.
Does that match the new livery?
As far as I know.
Scoop on the Padhawk.
I've not seen the new livery.
Mango AlphaTauri.
Some Mango magic.
But how good would that be if it was Mango colour? That would be so good.
Well, we've just broken it if it is.
Yeah,
you heard it here first, people. And I know that's why people come to this. Three respected journalists who break news to them. Oh, no, we just talk absolute shite for half an hour. I think more fun this way. Sorry, people.
It will look exactly the same, won't it?
I'm not envisaging a great deal of change on the livery. But their launch is going to be quite cool because it's going to have a fashion element to it. So
you say you're not envisioning a great deal of change. It means Brett is anticipating some change. A bit of mango on there, maybe.
Well, there's
always avocado on the wing.
Always a tweak, but some change would be like a logo of a sponsor moving, right?
Yeah, true.
So that would be some change. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I'll be back on Sunday to go to McLaren on Monday and then Aston Martin on Monday afternoon. So I'm doing both.
Great man. Yeah. I've just sacked Aston Martin off.
Yeah, I was going to try both, but I have to. It sounds so tough, doesn't it? I have to go to the Ferrari launch on Tuesday, and they need you there early in the morning, so you have to fly Monday night, which means it's impossible to get to Aston and go.
Yeah, it rules me out.
It's pretty difficult to do anyway. It's a pretty tight turnaround anyway, so... Aston should be fun, though, with Fernando. Looking forward to see what he says. Because I'm already loving this. I've already seen quotes from Fernando where he's like, Lance Stroll, Lance could be a future world champion. He's already fully embracing... They were just on Twitter. I don't know who he gave them to, but they were from Spanish media somewhere. But like, he's already in full Fernando mode where he's already like, right, I'm going to praise this team to the gills. You make this team, make it clear that me coming here is the best thing that's ever happened to this team. My teammate's great. Because then when he starts beating Lance regularly, he's like, well, like I said, Lance, Lance is a future world champion in the right car. And look at, I'm beating him. Because he did the same with Van Dorn, didn't he? He'd be like, well, it's not every day your Formula One, your teammate is the most successful Formula Two driver of all time, And that's what I'm up against this year, and I'm beating him comfortably. And it was like, leave him alone. It was like that Simpsons meme. It was like, he's already dead. Stop, he's already dead. That's going to be fun.
That will be interesting to see that dynamic. I mean, I'm interested to see their car as well, because that's going to be, I know, livery-wise, it's probably identical pretty much, but it's going to be very different in terms of the design, it sounds like, because of the trouble they had last year, whereas some of the others, I'm not too sure how different they'll be, but I want to rewind slightly to a launch that's already happened that Mr. Bretta was at. I want to break down the fourth wall, Bretta.
Yeah.
I want to unveil the magic of television. But I mean, it was so impressive that you came back from New York. I think you landed Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Went to Williams Monday because I saw you at Williams.
Yeah.
Which is when I started to start getting man flu.
Yeah,
it's a hardship I bear.
Just before you continue this story, Med, are you sure you want to break the code? Are you sure? It's like the magician's code, no? Are you sure?
Where does the rabbit come from, Lawrence?
I want to break the code, because then for you to have gone all the way to Hinville for just one little link.
One little link.
Actually, that's a little interview, wasn't it, with the drivers? But I believe Tom Clarkson, who did a very good job, I thought.
Oh, I thought he was great. I thought that whole launch, by the way, was super slick, by the way. I thought that was great.
Which was a live launch, wasn't it, in Zurich. And he made a joke about how quickly the drivers got to him in Zurich from Hinville, from the unveiling. How did it happen, Bretto?
Well, they're just speedy drivers,
That's how quick the Alfa Romeo is this year. They've built cars so fast.
It was because, Medland, my link was pre-recorded. Yes, it was. It was pre-recorded the week before in Hinville. We pulled the covers off in a relaxed mode. And then by the magic of television, the great team at SRF edited it together to make it look like it was live.
What is even real anymore?
Here's a question for you. Was the live studio audience there when you did it, or were they not? Because it looked like there was one guy with his arms folded. There was one guy who didn't look like he was meant to be clapping at the right point. So they were in the room with Tom Clarkson, weren't they?
Yeah. So you had,
yeah.
There were a few clips that were used, but when we did the unveil in the factory, there were actually guests in that room as well.
Okay.
So they were partners
more pressure.
From Alfa Romeo. They'd actually spent a 3-day, they'd had spent 3 days with Alfa Romeo, kind of embedding themselves into the team, having a nice dinner, dinners. They went up in a ski resort as well. So it was just kind of part of an entertainment package. And then they got to see the car early as like a perk of pumping and support, pumping finances into the team and supporting the team. So they got to see the livery early.
So that is what this podcast does. There's a story about following Formula One around the world that you wouldn't have known without listening to this.
Exactly.
Hit the brief.
That's what we stood up for. Only took us 30 minutes and 15 seconds of this episode.
On that day, Valtteri and Joe pulled the sheet off the car 16 times. So if you ever think about, because for various reasons, you know, for various unveils, for different groups, or when you're shooting it, you want to get different camera angles, so you cover it up and then you pull it off again, and you cover up and pull it off again. So fair play to them, because I think in each shot that would have been broadcast, they looked as excited in the first time as they did at the last time.
And each time, was there a guy still painting the car underneath the first 15? So not yet, give me a sec. I told you, I'm nearly done. I've got to do this front wing. He's stripping back all the paint to find the black. It's like, give me a second.
Oh, well, talking about that, there's quite a lot of paint being stripped off that Alfa Romeo for weight gain.
Although, that car looks mega.
It looks good, doesn't it?
Car so far.
Favourite livery for me as well.
But that middle bit is surely going to go back to carbon, the black part. Because I'm pretty sure every team that has any black, which is quite a few now, look at you, Haas, they're going to like make it lightweight by taking paint off. So... Williams, you could see as well, there's darker sections on their livery that aren't the same blue as the other parts that they'll take off as well, I'm pretty sure. So it's gonna be the carbon year. That's what
carbon.
That's what I'm gonna describe F1 2023 as, the carbon year.
Carbon, and at a time when we're trying to reduce carbon as well.
And on that note, I think I'm gonna call it quits.
Compelling and rich.
That's the most important note, isn't it? Save the planet. Sorry, Laz is desperately trying to finish. Go on, Laz.
He's got a flight.
I've got to go. But thanks very much, chaps. A pleasure as always. We'll have plenty more car launches to chat about, because you guys will do a few more right over the next couple of days. So we'll have plenty more. Yeah. So we'll do another one of these next week before testing starts. But you don't remember. Please remember to follow us on our social channels at the Paddock, and do leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. You can read Nate's work on ESPN.com, Meta's work on Racer.com, and my work on F1.com. And we'll do this again next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.